Hi, I'm Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place for women in their second half of life to go to receive inspiration. If you are at a place where you believe your best days are behind you, it is my hope one of these episodes will spark you to think differently and lead you to a new belief that your second half may actually be your best half. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that the younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age or circumstances hold you back from the pursuit of a more fulfilling and fun life. The happier we are, the better the world will be. So instead of settling for what you don't want, how about going after what you do want? Listen in and let something you hear prompt you to take the first step in making the rest your best.
Happy New Year! Woo! If I had a little blower, I'd be blowing it, but I don't have one. I wanted to start off the first podcast of 2023 with a little Happy New Year message. But this podcast episode is about 2022. So that's the way I like to start my years, is in reflection. So, and then I can't do this episode until the year is over. So hence it is January 3rd. I normally do an interview. So if you noticed, didn't do an interview yesterday. Well, this is being recorded a day ahead. So Tuesday is really today. Tomorrow's Wednesday. This will be publishing on Wednesday. But I'm not doing an interview this week because I wanted to do this reflection of 2022 and share the lessons that I learned in 2022. And I encourage you to look back and reflect on your year and the lessons you learned. So I don't like to ever think of anything as a failure. I like to think of things as lessons. And lessons can be good lessons, but we definitely need to reframe I used to always think of failures as a perfectionist. Oh, I did that wrong. I failed. I was married for 25 years and got divorced. That was a failure. Instead of, what did I learn from it? And wasn't it a successful marriage that I was married for 25 years? A lot of people aren't married that long. So a friend told me that once and I was like, wow, that's just a whole reframe on the whole divorce thing. And I loved it. So I like to look at things that I used to think were failures and look at them as lessons. So I have a combination. I have 8 things, and I would say, I just don't think of things in failures anymore. So these are things, new things I tried, new things I did, aha moments, breakthrough moments. Had quite a few of those in the past year. So I'm going to share 8. Okay. So are you ready? Are you ready to go? Ready to do this? And I did spend a lot of time. I look back every month. I look back at the last 31 days, and I always reflect and spend about an hour at the end of every month or the beginning of the new month on the previous month. And so I did that for the last 12 months. I looked back at all my monthly, because I use my own planning system. It's called the Spark system, if you didn't know. And I teach it to my students, and I use it. I am a product of the product. So I practice what I preach. And I spent some time. So, and then I put down what I think, you know, would be the most valuable for you to hear. So number one was, I finally realized my true purpose. And I knew it. I honestly think I knew it somewhere, but I was tiptoeing around it. So if you are doing this, then maybe my lesson is a good lesson for you to take heed on. So if you didn't know, if you're new to me, I am a coach and I help people find purpose. But I also help other things. I have a whole program and I teach, like I said, I have a spark planning system. I teach people really how to find their authentic self. That's a big part of it. Personality testing, teach manifestation. So it's a combo, a lot of things. And so I have realized, and I know that I help people find purpose, but I've really avoided using the P word in like marketing my program. And in my training for the program, like when I am opening enrollment, and you know, I never really thought about why I did it. I just did it. And, I you know, in this trickery of online programs, well, you don't like to say it's trickery, but you know, you have to master marketing. And I hate the marketing that is trickery. I hate the marketing that, like, you know, it's evident in emails when people, like, it's like clickbait. You know, they say something in an email and it's to get you to open. And then it's like, oh my gosh, this wasn't even what this email was about. And I hate that. So you have to find the magic in the marketing messaging, that what you're really selling, but say it in a way that it's compelling, right? But truthful. I want to always be truthful. And when you have a program that is jam-packed like mine, you can say there's a lot of different things. Like you can say in an email or a marketing message, oh, I'm going to teach you planning, or I'm going to teach you to find your authentic self. And so that's what I mean. I tiptoe around the whole purpose word. Because I think, oh, people are more interested in learning about planning. People struggle with planning. I'll give them that. Or, oh, people really are out there like operating the way to make people happy, right? To make, to blend in, to do the right thing. And they're not like standing out and being who they really are. And so I thought, well, like, that's what, you know, really, we need to talk about that. That's what they need. But what my program really does is teach people how to have more meaning in their life. What is it? And we have to do a lot of digging. What is it that will give them meaning? And everybody's different. Meaning to me isn't meaning to somebody else. What I value is very different than somebody else. And so it was funny because when I have a program and people come in and have amazing transformations. And so how can I reach more people? How can I get more people through the program so that I impact the world in a greater way? And so that's been my goal. And so I really need to stop tiptoeing around purpose. And so this came up in a call that I did with my coach, and I love coaches. You know, I'm a coach, but the reason my coach says everybody needs a coach. And, I used to laugh at him saying that, oh yeah, cause you know, we need you. Right. But it's so true because he uses the analogy of a car and how you have that mirror on your side mirror and there's a blind spot. And no matter what, sometimes you're starting to go in the other lane and you don't see that, you get a horn and that you don't see that blind spot. Your coach, a coach, will help you find those blind spots. So I totally get it, because I help people. They're like, oh my God, you know, how did you do that, Lori? And I'm like, well, all I did was ask the right questions and you had it inside you all along. And that's what a coach does. And so what he was able to do with me in this session was to make me realize that my purpose is helping people find purpose. And I haven't been real bold in sharing that. I haven't been real bold in really making that the biggest thing that I help people do. So now on Instagram, I have the purpose coach. But I think also it's making people understand, because purpose is a big word. Like it's a fully loaded word. And it's like getting people to really understand what that means. But there's a lot to it. And so what I've done is I put together this whole new training, and I'm calling it the Awakening of the Empty Nester. And it's coming out at the end of this month. I'm very excited about it because it's really about pursuing purpose in your second half. And so to me, this was the number one of the 8 lessons learned in 2022, because, you know, I know it's been my purpose. It's what I do. It's what I love to do, is to have these really great transformations with the people that come through my program. But I just have been avoiding speaking directly about purpose. And what I realized, and what my coach got me to realize in this session, was the big sticking point for me, which is why, because like I said, I don't like to like do trickery in any messaging. And so my biggest fear was that I would say, you're going to find purpose and this is the program that you're going to do that in. And then they come in and they don't find purpose. And so, one thing he pointed out, because he helps people start online businesses. And he says, Lori, do you think everybody who comes in here starts an online business and has like, and he helps make millionaires. And he says, do you think everybody who comes in is a millionaire? And I was like, oh, well, no, it's always easier to see with other people than yourself. But what I realized is that the people who actually do the work. Yeah. So maybe the people, somebody will come in and they won't do the work or they won't believe it works. Maybe they don't find their purpose, but everybody who is a good student, everybody comes in with a commitment to do the work, 100% effective. And so that was my aha moment, was like, oh my gosh, I've been tiptoeing around it because I'm so afraid of failing someone. I'm so afraid that somebody is going to come in and not get the transformation they want. When in fact, it's not my responsibility for them. I've laid it out. I have proof of that this works. And it's the people who don't do the work. And so that's why it's been for me a little bit of fear around talking about the P word. So that was a huge lesson that I learned, and it's going to change everything about how I now talk about what I do and the training that I'm going to be doing going forward this year. I'm super excited to do the first one in January, and then I'll do more later in the year, of course. So, but I'll just keep refining it and getting it better. But we're going to be talking about purpose a lot, because that is my purpose. Number two. So the other lesson that I got that was a big one is that I returned to the corporate workforce, which any time previous to me doing this, I had such a negative viewpoint of the corporate workforce. And I didn't think really, I just had this like anti-corporate because of my personal experience in finding my path and my purpose through entrepreneurship. But it was the best lesson I could have gotten because I also had a student who taught me this as well. I love my students because they always are teaching me things. So a little selfish of me, but I teach them and they teach me. But what happened is she was really unhappy in her job, and but she was doing what she loved. She was like doing her purpose, but it was just the environment. It didn't work. And the setup that she had didn't align with her values. And so she wrote down what her dream job would be, and she got the dream job. And so that happened. And she shared this with me before I actually went back to work. And so it's almost like that seed was planted, and I knew that there was that possibility that you could actually find purpose in a corporate job, and that works for a lot of people. And so I needed that lesson to be a better purpose coach, because can you imagine if a purpose coach is thinking, oh, you can only follow your purpose if it's you creating it and you running the business, because not everybody is cut out or likes being an entrepreneur. A lot of people, you can have a purpose that's in support of somebody else's business. And so I thought it was so interesting that when I returned to the corporate workforce, and I've told this in a previous episode, is that it was like so aligned with my purpose. And like I help women over 55 purpose and thrive in their second half and be alive and thrive, say it that way, a little ditty, live and thrive. But this job was exactly that, really. I mean, not necessarily helping people find purpose, but it's helping people over 50, not specifically women, but people in general, older Americans, thrive as they age and have a better life as they age. So it supported not only the purpose in a way, maybe a little more general, but it supported the work I was doing with my program, and it supported my funding of my purpose. So it was totally like lined up to happen for me. And so I thought this was the best lesson I could have had, that I was forced, because I didn't look at it at the time, but financially I needed to have additional income to come in to fund what I was doing. And I needed something, and it was the easiest thing that ever happened. It was somebody randomly called me out of the blue that I worked with 15 years ago, and it was this job working from home, totally remote, supporting people over 50 or 55. And so crazy. Is that not crazy? So the second lesson is that just returning to the corporate workforce is can support my evolution to further my purpose. To further my purpose in the world when I didn't think it could. I didn't think corporate workforce was any element that could be my path to really, making a larger impact with my purpose. But it's allowing me to do that. So that's my second lesson. The third lesson is that the universe really does have my back. And the second lesson is evidence of that, because I never updated my resume. I never searched for a job on any site. It just felt, I had the idea, oh, I need more money. I need to supplement, what I'm doing here as a coach and with this program. I need to supplement that. So, just had the thought and then took no action really, except put that out in the universe. And I'm not saying that you should never take action, but I learned about human design this year, which is another lesson, which I'll get to in a second. But my human design is to, the way I'm supposed to make decisions is I'm supposed to have the thought, make the request of the universe, and then sit back and wait and not take immediate action. I'm supposed to be patient. I'm supposed to be like, wait for a bit. Cause I'm like, I used to always like be somebody who would like force it, and you don't force it. You just like, and so I did it not even intentionally doing it. I didn't even think about my human design at the time, and it just happened that way. So it was like the further proof that my human design is exactly correct, and that the universe is listening to our thoughts. The universe does know what we want, and that's why it's so important what you think, and that you need to think positively, and you need to think in abundance, and you need to think, and believe and have faith that your dreams, and have dreams, because if you don't have dreams, then the universe won't know what to give you. So it's that the universe really does have my back. And I don't know if I told this on a previous episode, but it's good to include here because I'm talking about this, is that I was listening to, I have a manifestation coach, and she was talking about how when she first started dabbling into manifestation, she kind of wasn't a believer. She was like, okay, universe, prove it. I want you to show me the numbers 1111 or 1 4 times, right? So show me those numbers. And if you don't know what those numbers are, I'm going to turn my page of my notes. I want to make sure I get this right. These are angel numbers, like three numbers in a row or four numbers in a row, but like the four numbers in a row, like, are super numbers. So, but the 1111 is universal symbol of spirituality and of the divine connection between the cosmic vibrations. And so seeing this as a reassurance that you are on the brink of taking a great leap forward, kind of in your spiritual journey and your what you're meant to do and your purpose is really, that's what I was seeing this as, is when I see 1111, that means the universe is there. That means the universe is connecting with me and the universe is saying, you're aligned and you're going in the right direction. So like her, because I heard that she did this for proof that she was on the right path. So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to play that little game and see. And so that very day, I looked at the clock at 11:11. And it wasn't like I was sitting at the clock. It wasn't like I was looking at my watch a zillion times. It was just, I was going about my day. And there it is. And that was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I hate admitting this, but what I said to myself, and again, this is the Lori logical brain wanting more proof. I said to myself, oh, that was, I didn't say out loud that's what I wanted. I just thought it. Even though I teach this stuff, like I still fall into these habits of like lack of faith or distrust or prove it to me. But time and time again, the universe comes through. It's crazy. So anyway, so I said to myself, I was just thinking it. So I need to actually say it out loud. And if I say it out loud and then I see it again, then that's proof. And I will tell you, I said it out loud. And again, I saw 1111 that very same day, because the rule was I have to see it within 24 hours. It wasn't even 24 hours and I saw it. So it was so crazy. So it was just confirmation that, you know, multiple examples in this past year that the universe has my back and that I'm on the right path and that the universe is actually listening and paying attention and is guiding me. And wow, that is so powerful. Best lesson ever to get. Okay. And so number four, this was, oh gosh, powerful lesson. I did this. This is an episode I did, connecting with my dead father. You can scroll back and look at it. I think I did it back in like maybe May timeframe. But the lesson is that the people we loved and have lost are accessible to us. And you might think, oh my God, she has gone off the deep end. Lori, you are a little nutty. But I have had personal experience with this and with a medium. And so they're accessible to us in non-human form. They are there. And if we pay attention, we'll get signs from them. And so we can connect with the other side. And I was lucky enough to find a medium that I trust. I've had her on the episode as well. I'm having her back actually later this month. I'm very excited about that. But we're really not going to talk too much about mediumship, I don't think. Maybe a little bit. But she's one of my students. And so she just has this gift. And so, wow, she came into my life when I was really needing this connection. And I really wanted to connect my mother, who is in an assisted living home and not in good shape, with my dad. And it was so amazing. So that was a huge lesson that I got that was super powerful and really changed a lot for me. Gave me a lot of peace. That's the best word. A lot of peace that I didn't even know I needed. So I was doing it for my mom and I got so much out of it. Number five, I dove deeper into two modalities or two tools. I dove into astrology and I dove into human design. And those things are so fascinating to me because I've always been very curious about astrology. But one of my challenges is I didn't know my birth time, but I learned how to use a pendulum. So that's something that I learned. I actually learned that in late 2021. So, but I found out what my birth time is, and I knew about what it was, but I didn't know the exact time. And so with these tools, you need to know your birth time and you need to know your birth date. But you can ask for guidance from your spirit guides and you can get it. And so I'm very excited because I'm going to be bringing these more into my program, which I haven't really delved into. I do have, like my base program, and then I have, I'm renaming it. I'm going to be calling it Spark Expansion. And that is, I've started working on teaching the kind of elemental, like 101 version of human design. And I want to dive deeper into that with my students and maybe even add some of it to my base program, which I'm excited about, because it's really powerful stuff. And it was so, when I had that experience with finding that job with using my human design, and there's five different types, and then there's different elements of the types, and it's based on like three different. I need to save a whole. I'm going to do an episode. I did have somebody actually who talked about human design on a past episode, but I didn't know it as well as I know it now when I talk to her. So I need to have her back or have somebody else come on and talk in more depth about it because it's really fascinating. But anyways, but you learn if you dig into astrology and human design, you learn more about yourself at a deeper level and you learn about your character traits. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like, how does it know? Because it does. It just does. It knows you better than you know yourself. And if you are somebody who is operating in a mode of more worried about pleasing other people, or in a mode of feeling like, oh, I've got to adapt, feeling like you have to be a way that isn't to your nature, these tools will reveal who you really are and what you really should be doing. And it's just so interesting. You'll feel like you've come home in a way to who you really are. So I love that. Okay. Number six, I learned some new health strategies thanks to Christy Miller, and I'm going to be bringing her back on the program. I originally interviewed her back in, oh gosh, it was a long time ago. I interviewed her. She's a health coach. She helps health coaches create health coach businesses. But she came out with cancer, and I did an episode. One of my Just Friggin' Do It episodes is about her, because something that she was doing when she was diagnosed with cancer, and she was asking for people to send notes. And so I did a Just Friggin' episode because, you know, I was like, well, you think of doing these things and you never do it. And I actually just friggin' did it. And I sent her a note. And so we've been in contact, and she's kicking cancer to the curb. And so she calls her breast cancer her breast guest. So funny. Anyways, she's going to be on later this month, and she was supposed to be on. We were supposed to interview, and then she got a cold, and so she wasn't able to interview. But I learned a lot of this stuff because she was sharing it as she was going through her cancer journey. But I started doing, and I did an episode on this, some of the things I was doing. But big lessons here. But the IV ozone therapy and juicing, as to really unusual, I say juicing isn't that unusual, but it's only unusual in the sense that not a lot of people do it. It's not hard, but it does require a good juicer. But it's the best way to get a lot of raw vegetables into your system that don't taste bad, because, you know, raw vegetables, oh my, you can get like sick of them really fast, and you can only eat so many carrots, right? But you can jam a bunch of carrots into your juicer and get carrot juice that's pretty darn tasty. I hate beets, and I can even have beets in my juice and like it and drink it. So it's a good way for me to get my beets in. So that's number six. And number seven is that we have subconscious memories that extend back to when we were in utero. And I had a breakthrough on this. And the other thing, and I'm going to be doing an episode about this, so this is something to be excited about, but we actually carry subconscious memories from our ancestors. So you may have heard the term ancestral healing, and that's kind of a hot topic right now, but there is truly things that you carry forward in this life from your ancestors. And it's true. And it's quite interesting. I'm going to work with somebody to uncover some stuff that has come up recently. But there's alcoholism through several generations in my family. And through at least, I know, two and maybe more generations, eating disorders. And so I want some healing around this stuff. Fortunately, because, you know, this is for a whole nother episode, but I didn't have an eating disorder to the point of like I was in the hospital, but I had an eating disorder to the point where it affected me mentally, and I was obsessed with how I looked and what I put in my mouth, and also excessive dieting and unhealthy dieting, which I carried down to my children, which I hate that I did. But you do the best you can with what you know, and that's what I did. So I want to get to the root of that and heal that. But my lesson was really an understanding that we have these subconscious memories, because before I thought, I don't have any memory before 3 years old. You can't really, because you don't really remember anything. How can you really remember anything? Well, we had a brain, so when we were conceived, right? And memories go back further than what we think that they go back subconsciously. So that was huge. And the final lesson, and this wasn't necessarily a new lesson, it was just additional validation of something that I knew. Okay. So it's that continuing to take action that is aligned with who you are, what you value, and what you're curious about, and what helps others in a meaningful way is the quickest and happiest way. It's the quickest way to find that spark to live a most spark life. And I thought that was a really important lesson to end with. It's not the most action, and that's what I was always guilty of. I think this is the first year where I really applied this, where I did less. I mean, you might say, oh, you got a job and you're doing your coaching business. Well, you might think I'm doing more, but I'm actually so much more productive and organized with my time. I don't feel like I'm doing more. I actually have more time on the weekends than I have before. And I feel like I've progressed more faster as a result. So it's not the most action you take. It's the right action, and the right action is aligned. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily feel like the right action, but if you're guided and it's aligned, it might, you put it this way, it might feel like this doesn't feel very productive because I'm not doing enough. Sometimes the right action is sitting still in silence. So, and that doesn't feel good for somebody who's spent her whole life mindlessly doing. So it's the right action, but sometimes it doesn't feel the right action, but you have to know, it's a knowing that this is what you need at the time. And so it's not the most action. It's not the busy doing. It's just the right action and that it's aligned. And yeah, my notes, I was just reading it. I said, I put less time in my personal business in 2022 than the previous 3 years, but I've never felt more aligned or been more excited about where I'm going. And in 6 weeks, just six short weeks, I'll be entering my 65th year. So bring it on, baby. And I want to clarify, because people might think, oh, you're turning 65. No, I'm actually turning 64, but I'll be entering my 65th year. And I only know this because math was not my strong subject, but my best friend, when I was about to turn 30, I was 29, enjoying my final days of being 29. And my best friend, and I didn't disown her for this, but I thought about it. She says, oh, well, you know, you're already been living your 30th year. You're actually entering your 31st year when you turn 30. And I was like, mind blown. Oh my God. Here I am dreading turning 30. And I've been in my 30th year for a whole almost year. So that was quite funny. Anyways, so just so you know, I'm entering my 65th year. Isn't that crazy? Oh, time flies. All right. So I just want to run through them one more quick time. So just as a summary, lesson one was I realized that helping women over 50 find purpose was really my true purpose. And I, like I say to everybody, purpose is a journey, not a destination. It's a journey and it's ever evolving and you're continuing to get clarity as you go further along. And that's what's so wonderful. Number two is that returning to the corporate workforce was exactly what I needed. It was something that I might have seen as a failure in the past, but it was the lesson that I needed to further my purpose. Awesome, right? Three, that the universe really does have my back. And it showed me two times, at least more times, but like with the 11-11, two times in 2 days. And that's evidence, if you ask me. And then number four is that the people we love are actually accessible to us in non-human form. Five, that there's some amazing tools that are out there, and astrology and human design were two things that I delved into that were fascinating and that I'm eager to delve more into. Six, new health strategies, and I'm juicing and I'm excited about juicing, and I feel so much better in my body as a result of some of the things I've changed. Number seven, we have subconscious memories that go way, way back and have been carried over through generations. So if you're stuck and you're feeling like there's something that you just can't get past, you might want to try to find somebody. And I'm going to, like I said, Dr. Lottie Valentine, Valentine. I think you can say it both ways, but she's been on before and she's going to come back and we're going to talk about this. So if you're feeling like it's something interesting that you want to delve into, she might be a good person to help you with that. All right. And so eight is that aligned action continues to be the best lesson for me. Aligned action continues to guide me in the right direction. And every time I take action and it's not aligned, it's just a feeling that is not good. And when I take action that's aligned, it's good. It's just, and less is more. So aligned action is actually really less action, but the right action. And that was just confirmed just in a multitude of ways in 2022. So that's it. Hope you enjoyed this, and I will get this up for you guys ASAP. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Living Your Spark Second Half podcast. If you'd like to watch my guest interviews, you can find the video version of this podcast on my Not Your Average Grandma YouTube channel. Also, you can check out what I have going on at the moment by going to my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com or find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you like this episode, please mention it to a friend and don't forget to leave a review so I know the topics you like best and can bring you more of that content in upcoming episodes. Last but not least, remember to always listen to that inner voice that will never steer you wrong and make living from the most sparked place possible your biggest priority. When we do that, we make the world a better place.